right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by me, Robbie Earle, and by my longtime friend from work, Kyle Schoenwill. Welcome, Kyle.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I was at Disney World this last weekend, and I met some friends down there and just had the literal time of my life. But as you can tell, I had such the time of my life that I have literally 30% voice left. It's just, I'm stepping on the gas and it's all rasp coming out. Can you hear this?
Yeah, I like it. It's like got like a sultry appeal to it.
If I were to sing right now, it would be the nastiest thing you've ever heard. I'm not sick at all. I'm tired from the crazy journey, but it's just going to sound like this. So almost sounds like I'm whispering to you, but I'm not.
You're just emotional about everything that's going on. Spider-Man show really got to you. Just adolescence.
It's just been a big day. It's just been a really big day. By the way, I absolutely crushed Walt Disney World this weekend. All four parks, two a day.
Wow.
Did it all.
Wow.
Did it all. Love it down there. Shout out to all of our Florida listeners. Last week before I left on Thursday, Annika and I sat down and watched the first two episodes of this Spider-Man series. And I don't know about you. Like, I think our reaction was so pleasantly surprised that when Pete also texted that he liked it, you know, you and I were thinking about maybe just checking in on Spider-Man every once in a while because it's an animated show and we got a lot of other stuff going on. But I feel like I was pleasantly surprised enough that I texted and I was like, we should probably talk about Spider-Man. What mm-hmm. do you think?
Yeah. I mean, well, we talked about in the friendlies when we were talking about our most anticipated series, I talked about how I was excited about that show just in that it is new Spider-Man content and it's animated and everything that I had seen about it was just kind of, it seemed fun and interesting, but I wasn't really like, I wasn't like excited enough about it to have my expectations really let down, I guess. And so I think I came in, just sort of there for a good time, but then I thought it exceeded my expectations by a good bit, enough to where I feel like I was like revved up and ready to like text a couple folks about it, which is always a nice sign.
I had read that the animation would take a second to get used to, and I think that's the case, because I mean, for like maybe 15 minutes, Annika and I were like, it looks a little bit different. It's something I haven't seen. It looks like it's, you know, 10 frames per second kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not stop motion, but like very, very low frame rate. And so like, you notice it when they're talking, like they're talking fast and their mouth is going just like that, you know?
Yeah.
But everywhere that I read that said you get used to it was right, because by 20 minutes in, I never noticed it again. Like, I never thought about it. So that's my one disclaimer. I've heard some critique on the animation. It didn't bother me after about 15 minutes at all. I think the my voice is horrible. Holy cow. I also haven't talked today, so this is me stepping on the gas, realizing it's not there. I personally thought, I was pleasantly surprised by the MCU tie-ins. And it's not mm-hmm. a tie-in in that it's not the same universe or anything, but to actually see kind of like the behind the scenes of Peter catching the car and hear the Civil War music coming in.
Dun, 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 dun. The LJ stuff. Yeah.
And then it's the exact same thing. Like, my wife goes, oh, a DVD player. That's what he talks about in Civil War that he had just found.
Yeah.
And then obviously twisting that with it being Norman Osborn there, but even still just, without getting too deep into what they're trying to ask you to believe about this Spider-Man, it's just kind of cool to see those things. And so it was a show that for me, I was probably a 5 out of 10 excitement about, like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And now I think Annika and I will be watching weekly. So,
yeah, Yeah, I think it's fun because it's giving me a lot of what I think I would have wanted in a like prequel type series, which is what I think a lot of people initially thought that show was going to be before they changed the name. And then it came out that they had never actually intended the show to be a prequel series, but it was all kind of confusing because every year, like every Holland movie was like kind of a different year of his high school journey. So it seemed like that would have been. But now what's nice is like the downfall with a prequel like that is you have such set parameters in terms of what you can do developmentally. Like it's not even like a plot concern necessarily. It's more like you can't really take Peter beyond a certain point because we already know where we're supposed to pick him up,
right?
Like on his arc in the films. And so I think what's nice is it's not hamstrung by that, but because it's kind of doing this like slightly alternative MCU timeline, it can give us the background on the Civil War stuff and give us these little tweaks. And like the little Dylan G from Severance, like the little shout out as he's like swinging by. Which is like the Homecoming flashback.
Now his third Marvel Studios appearance, not only in Homecoming and here, but also he's the guy that's filming Shang-Chi on the bus. So that's just amazing, by the way. Talk about a mashup of worlds. Severance and all the stuff we've been watching over there now mashing up with your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah, I think I thought it was going to be, like you said, something kind of like an origin story or just an adjacent Spider-Man story. And in my life, there's just not really a void that needs to be filled there. But the fact that they kind of leaned into a guy who sounds like Tom Holland, and then Doctor Strange makes an appearance and it sounds like Benedict Cumberbatch. I know it's not, but it's like a believable.
Yeah, I actually thought it was for a second.
It's like a believable alternate reality version of Doctor Strange. We were kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of fun because we kind of know where we are. It's centering us. Mm-hmm. And then these little, like you meet a Harry and he's black. He's not how you're used to seeing him, but you're like, oh, that's Harry. Like that might be that Harry. And then you meet like a guy at the football, on the football team that you think is going to be a bully like Flash. And then he ends up kind of being like a really nice dude and they're friends and he's actually not weird at all. And Peter's kind of like, you know, he's holding the trophy and it was kind of like, it's all these background pieces being filled in with really nice multiversal stuff as far as an alternate reality or just twisting it enough that you don't know ahead of time. But then when you hear the name revealed, it's like, oh, that's really fun. And like you said, because it's not a straight prequel, I don't know where it's going to go. And so that's kind of fun too.
I think if you start to pull on this thread too much, it just gets more confusing. And I don't really think that that's the point of the show. But I like that there is just like on a surface level, this big event at the school that kind of believably alters course. Like again, if you really pick it apart, there are other things that would not fit with the MCU. But just the fact that like he encounters like Doctor Strange when he does and then can't go to Midtown where he does and has to go to like or can't go to like the version of the school that he goes to in the MCU and then has to go to like an alternate school. And so instead of Liz, he's got like a different crush and he like has different friends. Like he doesn't have Ned. So it is like you kind of, it doesn't feel arbitrary, I guess. Like you kind of understand a little bit why he's got this slightly alternative path, but still has Aunt May and still lives in an apartment that looks the same and still has like maybe like what I think could be good here is we could get an Uncle Ben backstory that may be like totally applicable to the Tom Holland stuff. But then if in the future they want to overwrite that in Spider-Man 4 or Spider-Man 5 and give a fuller backstory about who Uncle Ben was, they're not going to be hamstrung by it. So I think that it's like it all feels connected enough to kind of make me feel like I'm in the MCU, but also it's got like, by doing the alternate thing, it's able to lean into the Spider-Man centric part of that. They don't have to be as wed to like what's going on in the MCU at this time. Like, is there civil war? Like, are what's the state of Wakanda? Like all these things that we normally would have to like get some kind of clarity on, or everybody would get worked up.
Right. All those things can just be informative until they're not. That's such a good point. Like if they did an Uncle Ben flashback, we would probably just assume that's very similar to how it happened to Tom Holland. But then you're right. Like if Spider-Man 4 was a totally different one, we'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Cause it wasn't the same one,
yeah.
But you're kind of assuming it was, which by the way, I think would be an incredible way to start a movie like Spider-Man 4. Can you imagine you open up and you just meet this guy that you've never seen? Like, there's no spoilers. We don't know who it is. And then you start seeing this relationship develop only for him to die. And then all of a sudden, like, Peter wakes up and he's just remembering that or thinking about it. But, like, you got that backstory kind of thing or something.
Sorry, Adam Scott is Uncle Ben in Madam Web. I don't know if you ever read about that.
I never saw Madam Web. I am obsessed with Severance, and I saw an interview. Somebody asked him while he was on the street or something if his experience with Madam Web would keep him from doing a Marvel Studios project, and he said absolutely not. Like, he's open to doing it.
Nice.
And I had to Google what Marvel Studios project was he already in. Like, he's not in one. So someone must have asked about Marvel and not Marvel Studios or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, I didn't know that until maybe 3 days ago. So yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the movie, so I can't even make the joke really. Is it bad? I don't know. Is he bad?
No. I mean, it's just, he is like one of the weird premises of that movie is that there's a lot of conversation about who you assume to be Peter Parker, but it's all like when Peter's mom is still pregnant. And so it's like, you never actually, I don't think, meet Peter, or maybe he's like born in the very end. But then there's a point where you realize that Ben, who you've known the whole movie just as Ben, is like Ben Parker, and that's Adam Scott. And he does a good job doing whatever he's been given to do.
I'm going to watch it at some point. I want to. But yeah, I want to talk about Captain America, Brave New World, but just know I've been very much enjoying these first two episodes, new episodes weekly of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man on Wednesdays now. So Wednesdays for that, Thursday night for Severance, and you're going to be living a good life. Today's episode
weird block of release order, by the way. I don't think isn't it like a couple, they're doing like several episodes at a time, certain weeks. Like it was two this past week, and I think it may be more than that certain weeks.
I didn't know that. You know, I looked it up and didn't see it, so I didn't realize that. Is it like, oh, you know what, dude, I'm putting this all together. I'm sorry, I should know this. But yeah, someone sent me that schedule. There's like two and then like three and then two and then five or something. It's something like that or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think basically it's all done. Yeah, it's all finished before Brave New World, right? I think.
The week after Brave New World. It's finished before Daredevil. But
Daredevil, that's something. Okay, I clearly know nothing about any of this, so don't listen to me as a news breaking episode for sure.
But it is, I mean, I think it's basically, it's releasing across 4 weeks, 10 episodes. And so we got the first two last week. We'll get the next three this week, three the week after, and then the final two.
So that's fun.
To wrap it. Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Marvel seems really aware with that stuff, with what they did with What If and what they did with Echo and what they did with this. It's like, it seems like they know the right amount of attention that each project is going to command, and then they release accordingly, to me. Anyways, yeah. I was going to say today's episode is brought to you by our friends at organicpricebooks.com. Get your comic books at organicpricebooks.com. They're the best. And if you're there, use our promo code to tell them we sent you. Our promo code is Friends From Work, all one word. And you'll save even more money off already discounted books. and you're going to really love the comic books you get, which, by the way, at some point here, you and I need to do another episode regarding the Hickman Fantastic Four comic that I'm nearly finished with and just kind of check in on that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
For Friends from Work Plus subscribers, they've heard part one of that discussion and it's time for part two. I'm going to get a drink of water while you hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Okay, so the last 2 to 3 weeks, Robbie and I have been preparing our minds for Captain America Brave New World in a variety of different ways. We have a YouTube video up that is a 15-minute recap, a clip show, basically, of everything that we think you should know or you'd want to refresh upon before the movie releases. And that's really fun. You can find that on our YouTube channel, Friends from Work. Search that. You'll see it there. That's just been a really fun way to catch people up who have never seen anything or if you just need a refresher. And then we did an episode last week called The Saga So Far. That's a tradition we've carried over for a lot of years where it's basically a much longer version of what I just said from the YouTube video, tracing plot lines and characters all the way back from their origin to now. And what can we learn from watching those previous projects that will inform our viewing of Brave New World? And that's like maybe 70 minutes or 80 minutes instead of 15. So that's available. And then we also did, what did we do the week before, Rob? We did one other one too.
Well, our bold predictions
episode. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right.
Which focused a good bit on Captain America, at least on mine.
Correct. Correct. In our bold predictions episode, a few of our bold predictions were about Captain America, and that spurred on more conversation there. So I feel like without seeing the movie yet, you and I have done everything. We've done our due diligence. We've done everything we can to prepare our listeners for this film. So because we haven't seen it, this is a really, really fun tradition we're carrying over as well, which is that now we have opened it up to you, the people, as Bane would say. We give it back to you, the people. It's your chance to call in with some questions that actually, in this case, I and you have not heard yet. So I'm going to play 7 questions, Robbie, for the pacing here, 7 questions from listeners about Captain America Brave New World. And we'll just wing it from there. How does that feel?
I love it.
So we're kind of putting you on the spot here, Rob, because I'm banking on you, you know, taking the lead on some of these answers. So here we go.
It is a nice mailbag opportunity whenever you're at 30% voice anyway. Yeah. So I can fill in another 60 and then you can give us 10.
It's the Friends from Work, Captain America, Brave New World mailbag. Okay. I think that's it. Let's just play him. We'll wing it and see what happens from there. Up first, I'm going to play a message from our very good friend, Neil.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Neil. I want to say I'm fully on board with Sam Wilson as my Captain America. But the transition inevitably draws comparisons, and to this point, all too often those comparisons have been negative for Sam. So I'd love to hear from you. What do you think that Sam Wilson brings that's new and vital to the role of Captain America? I don't mean Anthony Mackie, though you can talk about him too. We've spent a fair amount of time with Sam now in the MCU. What attributes of his are perfect for Captain America? And are there ways you think he's even an improvement over Steve Rogers? Thanks.
Thank you, Neil.
I love that question because I don't know that I really started thinking about this until we were midway through our Saga So Far episode. But I do feel like there are some ways that Sam brings things to the table that Steve didn't. And I think the biggest one for me out the gate is experience. Like you look back at Steve and he was this guy that wanted so badly to be a fighter that he was willing to fake his identity over and over again and jump through all these hoops. And then he gets into the war and he does have a career in World War II, but he gets in, you know, in what, 1943? I feel like by the time he's actually kind of enlisted and serving. And so it's like, that is really the entirety of his career until he is frozen and then put in, like right back into it, when he wakes up and Loki's invading. So I think that there's a lot to be said for Sam having grown up in the late 20th century, having been around when Iron Man shows up on the scene, having watched these different world governments respond to these different elements that pop up across the Infinity Saga timeline. And so even beyond kind of his own personal life experiences, I also just think that he's kind of got a level of like realism that he can probably bring to this that Cap, OG Cap, Steve struggled with at times. And I don't know. I think that that's something that we're starting to kind of see hinted at in some of these exchanges between him and Ross in the trailers.
Okay, I wrote mine down while you're talking. My answer to that question would be, I think three traits, or however you want to say it, that Sam maybe has that Steve didn't have as strongly are his ability to listen. He's a good listener. His ability to want to de-escalate things. And his ability to see things from a different perspective / the other side of an argument. Now, Steve obviously does all this stuff as well. But if I had to find one area that Sam's an improvement, we saw Sam as a listener and a counselor of sorts for the VA in Winter Soldier. And his personality, I think, sets up perfectly to work for that. Steve... Like, you know, Steve, as you said, wanted to sign up for the military. Like, he wanted to fight for his country. And I'm not saying Sam didn't, but in some ways, I think there are times where Steve wants, not wants it to turn into a fight, but he's ready for it to turn into a fight. And I think we've already seen in a short window that Sam takes a different approach of wanting to de-escalate things as quickly as possible. And if he has to fight, he will, but it's not like an eagerness to sign up to serve his country from a, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's a fighter, obviously, and so is, and Steve is also de-escalating things. But I think if that, you know, it's one difference maybe between the two. And then the last thing I said was, you know, just because Sam's black, he came from a totally different upbringing. He comes from a different world.
Right.
We saw in Falcon and Winter Soldier that I think he has a really good ability to see things from the other side. Whereas Steve, like towards the end, like towards Infinity War and Civil War, was compassionate and kind, but had a very strong will and was pretty set. Like, he was resolute. And yeah. I think Sam is a little more willing to hear the other side, see it from a different perspective, remind people that, you know, the Flag Smashers might not be all bad. They may be coming from this spot and like, can we meet them halfway?
Yeah.
So those are probably the three things I'd say that he does a little bit differently than Steve.
Yeah. No, I think I agree. I just like that he has a different military context. Like they're both guys that came up in that context. But I think for Steve, he always looks at everything through the lens of a fight of good versus evil. And I think
that's a better way to say it.
That's like a luxury that you have when you're used to fighting against Nazis. But Sam has grown up in a world where it's like rarely that black and white. And so I think
that's a great point.
Different perspective.
Very different perspective. Okay, up next, our good friend Tanner.
Hey friends, this is your friendly neighborhood Spider Tan. It's Tanner. I have a question and I guess a prediction. I want to know when you think Captain America's emotional turning point will be in this movie. One of my favorite things about all the Steve Captain America movies is that there's this big emotional turning point at the end, whether it's sacrificing himself for Peggy, the moments with Bucky, or the big showdown with Tony. In Falcon Winter Soldier, we saw Sam really grapple with his own legacy, taking on the Shield, his race, and what that meant, and the grand scope of things. And I'm curious what we think the emotional turning point will be in this movie. Is he still going to be grappling internally? Are we going to see him really face Thunderbolt Ross and empathize with what he's gone through to get here? We have seen in interviews that empathy is going to be Sam's kind of main calling card for his Captain America. So, yeah, discuss. Thanks, guys.
I brought this up in an episode a couple of weeks ago. I think there's a chance that this movie focuses a little less on his race than Falcon and Winter Soldier did, and a little less on his internal struggle on if he is going to be Captain America. This feels like maybe a more, like a further down the road Sam. And so if I had to guess, and this question is basically saying, can you guess? Because I haven't seen it. If I'm guessing, I wonder if it's going to be something external this time. It's not going to be Sam wrestling with what it means for him, meaning will he lose Isaiah Bradley or something like that? Will something like that happen? Will he have to witness the ramifications of a bad decision from Ross that kills Isaiah? And now he's seeing how it's affecting someone else. Something like that maybe could be a turning point if it's not an internal struggle.
Yeah. No, I think to my mind, it would either be that or something. I mean, you brought up the adamantium stuff a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like that's getting more play in some clips and TV spots that have released, which I won't go into in case people want to steer clear of all that. But I do wonder if there's going to be a point where Sam has to choose between what his country is asking him to do and what he thinks the world needs him to do. Like if there's a point where, you know, like adamant, like, cause we know, I mean, it's obvious that Ross is going to be the kind of person that wants to go after something like adamantium. And you could see maybe Sam initially being on board with that if he can believe that, you know, it's better in their hands than other hands. But maybe there comes a time when it's he thinks that that's not true anymore. Or maybe it's, you know, there's a way where he can try to take it off the board, period. And that, like, makes him run afoul of the powers that be. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think
that's a really good one.
There are just so many variables, and I love it, like in this movie, that I just can't quite figure out how it's all going to click in. And I like when that happens.
I was also going to say, I wonder if he's going to meet, this is the last bold prediction, I wonder if he's going to meet a villain or something like Stearns and try to give him the Falcon and Winter Soldier treatment, like the end of that movie, the speech, or like even what they do with Bastion. Remember X-Men 97? And they try to like kind of recruit him. And I wonder if something is still going to go awry. Like he's not going to kill Stearns or something. And then someone still kills Stearns, or Stearns kills himself or something like that, that then kind of wrecks him because it's messing with his school of thought that he could kind of eventually reach anybody. Does that make sense?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
like he's not going to kill him, or maybe something happens and this person accidentally dies or something. And Sam's not okay with that or something. It's all random. I'm just guessing.
But no, I mean, and is there a, cause Emily Van Camp is supposed to be in, she's in the film as well, right? As Sharon.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
I think she is. And if so, it's like that's another dangling thread. Like, is there a moment between them that creates some kind of like he, do we have does Sam lose it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's so funny because I love to go back through all the movies that are already out to learn all this stuff and absorb as much knowledge as possible. But I don't love going crazy deep into the trailers thus far. So like, I'm not a guy that's like reading the cast and like trying to find every rumor about it. So I don't know. And part of me is like, okay with not knowing. That's why I just don't do it. So I'm not your guy for answering that question. All right. Up next, Johanna. one of my favorite listeners.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Robbie, and all of our lovely friends from work listeners. Johanna here. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Isaiah Bradley's role in Brave New World coming up. Obviously, we saw quite a bit of him in the trailer, actually. So just wondering what your thoughts were on that. Can't wait to see it and hope to hear from you guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Isaiah Bradley's role. Thanks, Joanna.
Yeah. I mean, it seems
like he's in jail from the trailer. Like he attempts to do something. My guess is he is at like an inauguration or something like that. He gets mind controlled by Stearns, mm-hmm. tries to assassinate the president, does not succeed. They capture him. He's in jail. He doesn't know why he did it, how someone can control him. And then I don't see him being like a long-term player. Like I don't see him joining the Avengers by the end of this movie. That's right. Me.
No, that's probably right.
He's probably stuck in jail until Sam gets him out towards the end of the movie, I guess.
I think it's an interesting question because he was so pivotal to Sam's arc in Falcon Winter Soldier. And to your earlier point about this movie probably trying to do different things developmentally with Sam, it makes me wonder how much they can do with Isaiah Bradley here without it like hitting those same beats. Like if Sam is motivated by trying to like vindicate Isaiah, that is already kind of taking it, which I'm sure he will be, but we're already kind of walking a similar path. And if it's, you know, he's trying to kind of like, if it leads him to want to be a certain kind of Captain America, we've kind of walked that path. So I'm curious how much they are going to dig into their relationship and how much has passed between them. Because I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just that now, instead of him being this kind of aloof, inspirational figure, maybe they've become really good friends over the last couple of years since we left them. And maybe it's kind of more of a personal, emotional connection for Sam.
I agree.
But yeah, I'm curious. Like, is it just him in? Is he just kind of playing the role of victim? Again.
Right. And is that sequence from the trailer the first scene of the movie? Like, is there a chance that assassination is the opening sequence? We see him in jail, and that's when Sam is starting to realize stuff could be weird within the president's cabinet and stuff. But that's maybe the end of him. Sorry, not that he's going to die, but that's the last we see of him for a long time. And the movie's not like about that. I mean, for sure, that sequence is going to happen within the first 20 minutes. They almost never show you that much of something that's going to be later in the movie, you know.
I wonder if he winds up serving a really similar role to the one that Bucky serves in Civil War, where he is just kind of like, he's the inciting incident as a character almost, where it's like he's being used in the same way that Zemo is using Bucky. The leader or someone is using Bradley to kind of position all of the different pieces into place. But
okay. Our friend Michael up next.
Hi friends from work. It's Michael from Oregon. I just had my only question from Captain America Brave New World for you guys is, do you think Bruce Banner himself, the Hulk, is going to make an appearance in any way, shape, or form? Maybe even mention. Just, is he going to be acknowledged within this movie whatsoever? Love what you guys do. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I love the way he said the Hulk himself. Like, just so much genuine excitement, which makes me happy. Look, here's my thing. This is a topic that has been approached before. I, right now...
It's one of my bold predictions.
Well, yeah, correct. So here's the thing. I could be on a limb on this and, like, 2 weeks, I might look really stupid. That's the whole point of a bold prediction. I think that there is a chance that, yes, Banner's in it and Steve Rogers is in it. I've told you that. I think there's a chance that some of the reshoots had something to do with that. I think that there's a chance that they see it as an opportunity to bring connectivity that we haven't had in a while and to add some pizzazz to a movie that maybe they were unsure of and they're reshooting. And so like, what a better way to kind of get MCU fans really revved up than to have like a Steve Rogers or a Banner cameo. And it would be an incredible, it'd be incredible if they have kept it silent this whole time, because there hasn't been really any rumors of that to my knowledge, other than the obvious connections.
Right.
I would freaking love it. So I can't tell how much of this prediction is me trying to speak it into existence, but I think at minimum you will have Steve Rogers' name and Bruce Banner's name referenced more than twice. I mean, I think it's going to at least be talked about, and there might have to be an explanation when Ross turns into the Hulk as to why Bruce is not being consulted when there's a literal Hulk attack.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can just ignore it entirely.
Yeah. Well, and whenever it's Ross and Stearns, like, it's like two characters that
he would know a lot about.
Well, and like, they are primarily Hulk. I mean, the leader is only a Hulk character. Ross is still primarily a Hulk character.
And I think the audience is led to believe that Falcon, or now Captain America, would have an ability to get in touch with Bruce, right? Like, yeah, at this point,
I would think so.
They would know each other enough via text.
And Betty, we know Liv Tyler is showing up in this. And so she's like Bruce's ex.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing, but yes.
It's just, there are so many. Yeah, like, I don't know if we will actually see him, but I think it would make, if I had to guess, I would say we're not going to see Mark Ruffalo in the movie straight up. Maybe he's in a stinger, but I think he will be talked about a good bit, and that we will get an understanding of kind of where he is and what he's up to and whether we can expect any follow up on him having a child.
But even just like a text would be kind of cool. Like, Joaquin Torres walks into the room and Sam's just putting his phone away, and we see for a second it says Bruce at the top and he's texting with him. It could be something like that, but that would be cool for me to at least know that he's like talking to him about it, you know? Or on the phone, they just got Ruffalo's voice.
Yeah.
Which probably would be easier.
I mean, I think I'm feeling more and more confident that they will have to do something to explain why he is not in the movie. Like, they'll have to do some, like, it, because it's like, we've talked about how they did it in phase two stuff and parts of phase three, where you can kind of explain why Iron Man isn't there in the Thor 2 London battle, or Steve isn't there at the end of Iron Man 3. But when you have a whole movie that's kind of based around Hulk stuff that just happens to be a Captain America movie, they're going to have to, like, they know that everyone's going to be wondering what the, especially because a lot of people didn't see She-Hulk that will be going to see this movie.
You know, I said I do think there will be some of those cameos. I also know that they need to balance this idea that they want Sam to fully take the role of Captain America and for us not to ask questions on why he's Captain America. And so I know they're probably thinking, we don't want to overshadow Sam. Like, it can't be that Sam has to call Bruce to come in and fight the Hulk because he can't do it. Because I think there's going to have to be some other way that he de-escalates it or something, knowing that they don't want it to be overshadowed. So I think that's why they were extra sensitive about it. Well, for a lot of reasons, but especially with Steve in Falcon Winter Soldier. It was like very clearly like, we need to move on from Steve. I do wonder if there will be a point. I mean, there will be a point if Sam is around for Doomsday, for example, or for sure by Secret Wars, that if Sam is Captain America, we're going to want to see him connecting with other Avengers and not be worried about it stealing the limelight. Does that make sense? Like, at some point, Captain America needs to be a part of the whole team, and you have to be okay with this as a movie maker that Sam's one of the players, not the only one. So it's coming at some point. It's maybe just not in this movie, is my last disclaimer.
It is, in fairness, of all the franchises, I think that you could argue Captain America is the one that is consistently doing the most with other Avengers. like even Winter Soldier, for sure. you've got Black Widow Natasha. And Fury basically mm-hmm. co-starring. And then, you know, Civil War obviously just isn't a Avengers movie, basically. So I think that, yeah, I mean, maybe this is kind of his like the first Avenger movie. But again, because they're doing stuff that seems like it's not like from what I can tell, yeah. they're digging deep into Sam's history and doing something that's really personal to him. Like they're already kind of having him deal with the wider world.
Yeah, see, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier was his first Avenger.
And I think
this
right.
is his Winter Soldier. Yeah. So I don't think Avengers level. This is not his Civil War yet.
Yeah.
But I think that this is his, like, yeah, there's going to be two other players or so that we recognize.
And if that's the case, that's also fun because Winter Soldier was such a big moment, like, status quo-wise. Like, not even, I'm not talking about the quality yeah. of the movie. Just, like, it.
For sure. I don't know if this will be that. We had a
very different MCU.
Yeah, I don't know if this will be like as much of a game changer as Winter Soldier was. I think Winter Soldier kind of redefined the genre for Marvel. I don't think this movie will. But
well, I mean, plot-wise, though. Like, I mean, like setting aside, like just the fact that like the MCU going into Winter Soldier was essentially the one that we had known. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is in control of everything, and that's kind of what the whole Avengers initiative has kind of been run through. And then moving out of that, we were basically in a totally different status quo that we haven't really gotten out of yet. It's the kind of post-S.H.I.E.L.D. world.
All right, a few more. And I think this one from Matt is related. So I'm going to play Matt next, I think.
Hey, guys, it's Matt F. I will always want to talk more about Banner possibly being in...
Nice.
Captain America, Brave New World. I feel like that's low-hanging fruit at this point, and Robbie's talked about it. I've made some comments about it in the Discord, so I'll go a different direction. Obviously, we know there's a massive celestial hand sticking out of the water. We have seen in the trailers them flying around it, rumors of adamantium. Do we think that there will be more direct questions or references or comments about the Eternals, like any Eternals actually name dropped or discussion amongst what happened at the end of Eternals with the Celestial actually like showing up and like there were obviously humans there that saw that. Do we think any further comments towards Eternals as Marvel does usually do a really good job about making some of their not as popular shows and movies more relevant by commenting on them or using different things to make different outcomes in other movies. So that is all that I have. Let's freaking go.
Nice. My first gut as he was talking was, no, there's no way they're going to say anything about the Eternals. Then I started thinking, well, could they say anything about the Celestial Hand without bringing up the Eternals? And then I went full circle and kind of thought about it and how many people even know about the Eternals? Like in that world, I don't know if any of them know. Like, I don't even know that we have any indication that Nick Fury is aware of their presence, for example, or that Ross would be aware of their presence. Or so then I kind of came back and like, they could probably just circle back and be like, wow, the people of Earth are really confused as to why this hand is coming up without them ever saying, well, Kingo, this Eternal was doing this and this and this. Right. Like, I don't think they know who that is. Right. Am I missing something?
No. I think that's generally right. I was thinking about it too. There's the obvious like scene he talked about when the Celestial shows up and takes Cersei and the others away. And we've never, I mean, that's such a massive event, I would think, but I'm not really sure how many people are supposed to have seen that. Like, is that something that you see from like anywhere on that side of the planet? Or is that something that you only see if the Celestial wants you to see it? So, but putting that aside, I did remember there are scenes where we see like Icarus on video. Remember, because there's that line about like you're Superman with the eyes, like the lasers coming out of your eyes, and they have that whole conversation because I think it's Fastos' kid like has seen the video circulating.
So they're aware of him.
I mean, I don't know if they would know who that is. And at this point, there are enough super people that maybe that's not that.
That's a good point.
Anomalous of a thing.
I think they would recognize him. That's a good point. They may not know the others though, but that would lead people to ask questions, I guess, if they knew this guy had these lasers shooting out of his eyes.
It's weird. I've always thought Eternals is such a weird thing to have in the MCU because it's such a weird thing in the Marvel Comics universe.
It's such a weird thing.
Like
it's every time it comes up, it's such a weird thing. It has nothing to do with the quality of the movie, which I actually think looks really great. It is actually a pretty good movie, but because it just totally doesn't make sense, like it wasn't intended to in the comics, it doesn't make sense in the same world. I still just really wrestle with why they did that. And they didn't just make a separate movie and say this happened, you know, on a different multiverse or whatever, which now I'm thinking, yeah, maybe that's a cop-out. Maybe this, like, the one you saw was almost identical to ours, but a little bit different, you know, and then the same kind of thing happened. But, like, even the hand coming out of the earth, they could somewhat explain, like, they're going to try to do, I think. But, the Celestial showing up and, like, physically removing some people would be, like, a Battle of New York times 10 level for anyone who saw it. Like, what the heck? Did you see that giant planet just grab somebody?
I mean, that would be
a face and it talked to us.
Yeah. Like beyond the snap, you know, because it was like, it's like at least in terms of like interpreting what your eyes are seeing.
So it just bothers me that they did that in the same universe. Cause again, it all makes sense for their own story. I just can't rectify that with Sam Wilson.
I think I also would have been happier with it had it all taken place in like ancient times, like if it had just kind of been this, here's the backstory, and then now like maybe right.
and the people just thought unfreezes. Those were gods that they worshipped and didn't know anything else about it or whatever.
Yeah, but I think regardless, there's not a world. I guess never say never. It doesn't make sense to me that we would see the Eternals in any kind of central position, even if that movie had killed and been a massive hit. Like, I just don't think it really makes sense. In the same way that, like, I mean, you could, like, the Guardians were central because of Thanos' role within Infinity War. But I think really that franchise kind of works best on its own for some of the same reasons. But I think here, when you're doing like a whole new cosmology, I think it's going to be something where it's like, they will maybe hint at something was going on, but I don't think that they're ever going to, like, it would be very strange to hear Harrison Ford explain the plot of Eternals to like a room full of people at the White House.
He couldn't do it anyways. two quick ones to get us out of here. Here's Thomas.
Hi, this is Thomas C. I guess my one question I have is, how much of the Flag Smasher plotline from Falcon and Winter Soldier are they even going to refer to? Is this going to be a real cursory reference a la Westview from Multiverse of Madness? You mention it and that's pretty much what you're going to do and that's it. Or is there going to be a connect the dots thing concerning the plotline of that show to the plotline of this movie? That's just my big question. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Thomas. I think it's going to mostly be cursory. I don't think they're going to focus a ton of attention on it. Maybe other than just, wow, someone else figured out how to develop a super soldier serum. We better be careful with how many serums are going around again because people are close. Maybe that's the extent of it. But I think the point of the end of that show was to kind of tie a bow on it. Dude, this is terrible. I think Carly died, right? Carly dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Carly dies at the very end and that's their leader. And I don't know how many
Zemo's butler guy blows up all the other ones.
Right. And you see some other people scatter. Is that every one of them? I'm not sure. Did he get them all?
There were a lot of people that were kind of part of the cause, but I think that there were still only a handful that actually had the formula. Yeah.
That's a great point. So I think if it's referenced, which it might not be, it would just be a real quick thing. That's my thought.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I would say that show wrapped up in a way that I don't need it to be referenced. Like, I don't think I'm going to be like, well, what about the Flag Smashers? Why didn't it, you know?
Yeah.
I think the point of that was that they are gone and Sam Wilson has become willing to embrace the leadership role of Captain America. That's the point of the end of that thing. And they were the vehicle for that change.
I do think one thing that's what will be really interesting when it comes to this show is just the answer to this question, like how much is it expecting people to have seen Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Because WandaVision, you kind of could have gotten away with just knowing that WandaVision was a thing and never have actually seen an episode. Like you could kind of like it wound up going more into it with the Darkhold, but whenever it came to like Westview, it was sort of just it was kind of cursory at times, but then at times it sort of relied on WandaVision, but at times it seemed to kind of contradict certain elements.
And that was a show that they knew they had every eyeball in the country on it. So they like,
yeah, yeah.
And this one's a step down from that as far as how many people watch it. So
yeah,
not much.
Like, are they going to, like, one of the strange things about Falcon Winter Soldier is that it feels like it doesn't really move the ball forward for those characters a ton from where they were at the end of Endgame, like we said. So I'm curious if the movie feels the need to really dig into that plot or not.
All right, Lance, take us away. Our final question from Lance.
Hey, it's Lance off of Discord into the real voice world. And I just listened to most of the beginning of the Saga So Far episode.
Most of the beginning.
What we think is happening with the timeline, because yeah, Secret Invasion kind of threw things.
So the first 4 minutes.
Movie, upcoming movie seems to be in 2027. Secret Invasion is officially in 2026, but like November times, which means the election from Ritson to Ross should have kind of been happening during the show. So I think they might bump Secret Invasion back to 2025. We'll see. Anyway, max like a yearish between the show and the movie. A minimum, like a couple months. I don't know how that would work, but that might be what they go with. Either way, it would be like a 2025 or 2026 election, which is weird. but yeah, and then regarding Adamantium, that's where like my real plot question is, because it's obviously some kind of, you know, tee up for a certain clawed mutant.
Let me pause for 1 second. We must have talked about the timeline on the last episode, right? Like we must have been a little bit confused when, like how much time has passed. So he's saying that Secret Invasion was supposed to be 2026, but if it was 2026, we would have seen that election change.
Yeah.
So yeah. He's thinking like retroactively, they may say that was taking place in 2025. That's my understanding of what he meant with the timeline.
I think that's what he's saying. Yeah, okay. I need to think about the.
I'm not a great timeline guy, which is why I like Lance. I like people like Lance who can keep track of this stuff because I never know. I get confused where we are. So thank you. Here's the rest.
Mutant to appear later. But I'm really curious to see if this is a newly named material or something that they've just discovered a large amount of but knew existed. Because if this is the first occurrence of adamantium in the whole universe, it'd be kind of weird to make Logan, you know, a couple centuries old or whatever, whenever he does pop up. So, I don't know. I'm really curious to see where they take it, and I don't really have any ideas. But, yeah, that's about it. I would love to hear what you guys think. Thanks for reaching out to the whole Discord for this opportunity. Bye.
Thanks, Lance. Hey, one question to you, Robbie. Is adamantium so foundational to the character of Wolverine that it could never be vibranium?
No, I don't think so.
Like, would comic book fans be so mad if it was vibranium?
Oh, well, those are different questions.
Okay, I got you.
No to the first question, yes to the second, because they're comic book fans.
I got you.
I do. Yeah, I mean.
So I think if that he's saying if it's a new substance that they just discovered, then when Logan is eventually showed up, how do they explain that he's had it in him for 200 years? So that's why my brain was thinking, well, either, first of all, we don't know how the X-Men are going to show up. like, we don't know if the end of Secret Wars is going to pluck people from different universes and that's how he has it, or if it's going to be like a total reset or the end of the timeline.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole new world. Like, we don't know any of that stuff yet, technically. So I guess using Logan as the one character to figure that out, I'm not sure I can do that yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was my thought too. It will depend on, like, whether we actually have a Logan that has an origin similar to the one that we're used to. Like, I think there's something to be said for Deadpool and Wolverine being this massive hit. Hugh Jackman, you know, Feige's made these comments about wanting those characters to stick around and be involved as much as possible. So I'm not sure that they would make a huge deal of bringing Jackman's Wolverine in and having him suit up and keeping him around, and then just that quickly swap him out for a rebooted one. Even though I know that he's not the MCU's Wolverine, he kind of seems to be, like, at this point, I almost think he will be for the foreseeable future. Like, I think he's going to wind up folding in at least for Secret Wars. And then we don't know what the state of the world is after that. But I do think maybe, like, do people want, it's like the Spider-Man origin thing at this point, where, like, do we need another mysterious Logan with a past that he doesn't remember that got adamantium injected with this, like, crazy evil military scientist? Like, do we need that same thing again? Or are they going to do something totally different? Maybe it is, like, maybe it's vibranium, or maybe it's something even weirder and more different. And maybe Feige says, like, yeah, we just gave you the most Wolverine of Wolverines, and now we're going to do a different thing.
Yeah, well, and the Logan that's in Deadpool and Wolverine is not even the same Wolverine technically as the one that we watched from the X-Men universe. So we don't even technically know, I guess, I'd have to remember, if his origin is exactly the same. We don't see it in Deadpool and Wolverine. So maybe even that one had a slightly different story. I don't know. To go all the way back, I think the answer is it's going to be a new substance. So, like, I think if it was a substance that everyone knew about, I don't think there'd be such a power race for it, which I think what this movie's going to be about. Like maybe an arms race to get to it.
Maybe they will be able to synthesize it at some point. Like, maybe that's where it heads. But, and maybe, like, I'm not, you know, I do think, you know, I hadn't even thought about this, but I guess this is just me being, not being a good MCU expert, but it wouldn't necessarily be the first time it shows up in the universe, because that's the whole point of Nowhere, right? That they're mining the stuff within a celestial's head. And I know that that's more like brain matter, but I think it would probably make sense that even if it is only found in celestials, it probably has shown up elsewhere. But I think it's the first time it's shown up on Earth. I feel pretty confident on that front. Like, I don't think someone, like, independently discovered adamantium in some other way, and then now it's just showing up and happens to be inside of a
They don't ever say adamantium in Guardians of the Galaxy, but that would be an awesome tie-in to all of this. If they were like, yeah, that was actually adamantium they were mining, and it's really, really powerful, and now humans are just becoming aware of it because the celestial surfaced barely. And so maybe it's not unlimited amounts. Maybe it's in the hand.
What's Thanos' sword made out of that cuts through Cap's shield? Like, you could have some fun, like, kind of throwaway lines by Rocket that would connect those dots pretty easily if they wanted to go that route.
That's so true too. I always kind of thought his sword could have still been something like vibranium, but he's just wielding it, like, he's smacking the shield even harder, and so that's why it kind of cracks it. But Thor, you know, he gets Stormbreaker from a different source that is strong enough to kill Thanos, and none of these other things were. And I don't even know that we have an indication that the vibranium shield would have been strong enough to kill Thanos. So
yeah.
they're there might still be levels even above that, theoretically. And maybe the difference too is maybe they make adamantium like this crazy strong metal that like Thanos made his sword out of, but it doesn't maybe have all the other like tech uses that vibranium has. Because, you know, vibranium, yeah, obviously they make like strong suits out of it, but it also becomes like an energy like holder and shooter, right, offer, and like a train energy, yeah, power source. And they built it's their like, cities it's way out more of versatile. It. It's like electricity, essentially. Yeah. So maybe that's how they differentiate the two. Like adamantium is literally just a metal, but it's the strongest. It would even beat vibranium. Like,
yeah,
an adamantium sword would cut through Black Panther's suit, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think that would make the most sense, and I think be the most analogous to the way it is in the comics. Like, I think vibranium is kind of like, it's almost magic in that you could sort of do anything you want with it, vibranium. Yeah. But I think adamantium is really just like, it is the strongest possible metal for doing things that you do with metal.
Dude, I'm just thinking, yeah. Okay, we gotta go. But I also, if that is the case, you wonder if there will be galactic issues with that. Like if it truly is adamantium and it's really rare and it's the strongest metal in the galaxy, and this is the hierarchy, is this a calling card for other people now to want to come to Earth to get some eventually?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, is this kind of like a beacon that you are ready for a higher form of war?
Yeah.
Is this it, maybe?
Well, because it, like, how often have you had a full celestial body just like frozen inside of a planet like that, where if people, right, did find out that they could come in? Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
Well, and probably the convergence has never, or not convergence, what's it called? The emergence has never been, yeah, stopped. The convergence, shout out Thor Dark World.
Wow.
The emergence has never been stopped before, right? That's our understanding. And so, yeah, this is the first time that a half celestial has even popped out. Like, normally it would have led to all of Earth is destroyed because there's now a celestial. And so, yeah, Earth wouldn't have been a place where they could have mined it until that celestial dies, whatever, millions of years down the road. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, maybe this has never happened in the galaxy before, that now Earth has access to it because they would normally be dead in this scenario.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I haven't been home since Disney World, so I need to go home and see my wife and my daughter,
you should do that,
who are both so beautiful, and I can't wait to kiss their face. Thank you for listening, and we love you guys so much. We are only days away from Captain America, Brave New World. I would say in this episode in particular, stay tuned to our social media and to our Discord, because if Robbie and I get a chance to see the film early, which is an if at this point, if that happens, our reactions will probably be posted on those outlets, because it probably won't be enough time between then and doing another podcast episode. But we do hope to have an episode, regardless of what happens, covering Brave New World initial reactions for sure by Friday, I would think. So, hope you guys enjoyed this week. It's a great time to be a Marvel fan. And one last thing, we are pre-recording this, so there's been a Fantastic Four trailer then. And so don't judge us for not getting into this Fantastic Four trailer at this point. Maybe you will have heard from us before this. Anyways, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Follow our podcast at the FFW Podcast on all social media outlets. And we'll see you back here next time on Friends from Work.